Love and Like Evangelism, Chapter 16, Continued. Satanic Attacks. Sickness that comes through sin has its original source in Satan, of course, but sometimes it comes through a direct attack of Satan and not because of individual or corporate sin. Job is one of the best examples of this. See Job chapter 1 and 2. Sin is Satan's attack on the spiritual man. Sickness is his attack on the natural man. In the New Testament, as well as modern times, the righteous suffer the majority of satanic attacks because we have been thrust into a war with Satan, and in any war there are casualties. Satan attacks your body just as he does your mind. Your mind, body, and the old man of the flesh, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, are the ways he attacks. Although he attacks you physically as he does spiritually, he has no more right to dwell in your physical body than he does in your soul or spirit. The operation of Satan's forces in the believer's body can be compared to guerrilla warfare. They actually have no legal right at all in the territory, but seek to operate there anyhow. Destruction of the flesh, that the spirit be saved. God permits some to be turned to Satan for destruction of the flesh, for disciplinary reasons. God does not put the sickness on them, but he permits it. You can read about this process in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. In destruction of the flesh, the church turns a sinful man to Satan for destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved. The Bible reveals how it is to be done. 1. In unity. 2. In the spirit and the power of the Lord. 3. In the name of the Lord. Why it is to be done. 1. Fornication. 2. Behavior worse than that of the world. Gentiles. 3. Pride. 4. Lack of repentance. 5. Evil in the midst of the people of God. Its purpose. 1. Individual. Destruction of the flesh in order that the spirit may be saved. 2. Corporate. Purge out the evil before others are affected. Violation of the natural laws of God. Some sickness comes upon us because we violate natural laws of God. For example, improper diet, being overweight or underweight. Too much labor, feverish activity. Improper rest. Lack of self-control, which results in harmful emotions such as anger, bitterness, etc. Lack of positive relationships with others, bitterness, unforgiveness, etc. Exercise, too much or too little. Abuse of drugs and alcohol, toxic chemical substances taken into the body. Violating natural laws such as the law of gravity, etc. If you jump off a building, you may get hurt. Deliberately placing yourself in jeopardy through dangerous activities and refusing to use safety devices. Examples such as seat belts in a car, goggles in a workshop, a helmet at a construction site, etc. Not properly discerning the body of Christ. Paul said many were weak and sick because they did not properly discern the body of Christ and took communion unworthily. You will learn what this means in the next lesson. The end result of sickness. The end result of a sickness will either be for the glory of God, a person is healed and God receives glory through their testimony, life, and ministry. Jesus said of the blind man, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." John chapter 9, verse 3. Glory goes to God for divine healing, of course, but glory should also go to God for what is called natural healing of the body through its own processes. God created the body and displays his nature and creative power through natural bodily processes. Glory should also go to God for healing assisted by medical means. The Bible says every good gift comes from God, and this includes medicines, vitamins, and other substances that benefit us physically. Many medicines come from natural substances in plants and elements that were created by God in the first place. The The problem arises when people give praise to medicines and doctors, instead of realizing God is the source of all healing. They knew not that I healed them. Hosea chapter 11, verse 3. Sometimes a healing is delayed and a person is healed later or gradually. Consider these examples. Zechariah was not healed until the birth of John. Luke chapter 1, verse 20. Hannah could not bear a child until God's timing. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 5 through 19. Abraham and Sarah could not bear a child despite Abraham's faith until God's timing. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. A sickness unto death. In John chapter 11, verse 4, Jesus said the sickness of Lazarus was not one unto death. This means there is a sickness unto death. There are two types of death mentioned in the Bible. Some who are turned over to the destruction of the flesh die a premature death, so the spirit might be saved. Every man has an appointed time to die. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 2, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 2. Even Elisha, the great prophet of God, who did many miracles of healing, became sick with the sickness whereof he would die. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. It is possible to just stop breathing and not be ill. You take away their breath, they die, and return to the dust. Psalms 104, verse 29. For the believer, the effects of old age can go either way. As an old man, Moses had no effects of age. Joshua was old and well stricken in age. God preserved one supernaturally, while the other experienced the results of natural aging. Their spirituality had nothing to do with it. God sustains us, whether our bodies follow the natural processes of age and death by disease, or are supernaturally preserved. The goal of healing is not immortality. Divine healing does not achieve this any more than medicine does. Even those raised from the dead by Jesus eventually died. When a believer dies, it is the ultimate healing within the parameters of eternity. We make the mistake of living bound by time instead of eternity. As a believer, we are already living eternal life, whether we live it on this or the other side of death. The gifts of healing. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to the body for the edification of the body. Thus, gifts of healing are available to all, and healing is available for all. An individual does not operate healing gifts himself. They are operated through him by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we are to seek the best gifts. Covet earnestly the best gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. When you pray for the gifts of healing, you are asking God to further develop that which is already in you, as all believers have the potential and authority to lay hands on the sick for healing. Jesus increased the resources he was given, Luke chapter 5, verse 22, and Timothy was told to stir up the gift within him, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. There are a variety of healing gifts because the word gifts is plural. There are a variety of diseases and different gifts or means of healing to cure them. If God wanted to heal in only one way, he would not have used so many different ways in the Bible. Think of the various ways God works to bring a person to salvation. Can he not work in various ways to bring healing? Method or gifts in themselves do not heal any more than they save. They are channels through which God's power is manifested. In the Bible, we find healing gifts by 1. Laying on of hands. The minister touching the sick. 2. People touching the minister. 3. Speaking the word from a distance. 4. Speaking the word in the presence of the sick. 5. Dealing with a person directly. 6. Healing because of intercession by another. 7. Praying. 8. Actions of faith. Healing which occurred from an act of faith taken by the sick person. 9. Various types of faith at work. A. Faith of one who ministers. B. Faith of one who seeks healing. C. Faith of friends. D. Faith of relatives. 10. Different agents used. Nothing was sacred about them, but they were a point of contact. A. Spit. B. Mud. C. Prayer clothes. D. Poultice of figs. E. Hem of the garment of a minister. F. Shadows of the minister. G. Oil. H. Fingers in the ear. I. Water. J. Touch. 11. Special miracles. God anoints some people with faith for special healings, like the Apostle Paul. For example, God uses some people to minister especially to cancer patients, etc. This does not mean we should not minister in all areas of healing, for our command is to heal the sick in general. All believers are commissioned to heal the sick, and although God does move through some in special gifts of healing, all should be involved in the healing ministry. Here are the people the Bible says should be involved in healing. Pastors and shepherds, or spiritual leaders, Ezekiel chapter 34. Elders and deacons, James chapter 5 verse 14. Ordinary believers, James chapter 5 verse 16, Luke chapter 16 verses 15 through 18. Those with the special gifts of healing, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9. The entire church a healing center, Luke chapter 14 verses 16 through 24. The purposes of healing. The most obvious purpose of healing is making the sick well, but healing and deliverance serve purposes other than just making people whole. Healing and deliverance also demonstrates the character of God. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Psalms 145, verses 8 through 9. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Mark chapter 1, verse 41. Glorifies God. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Matthew chapter 15, verses 30 through 31. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Acts chapter 4, verse 21. Part of glorifying God involves the proper fear of God. Healing results in such. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Acts chapter 2, verse 43. Confirms Jesus as Savior and Messiah. Read Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17 in your Bible. The healings recorded here confirmed words of the prophet. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. In Luke chapter 5, verses 18 through 26, the healing of a lame man and forgiving his sins confirmed Jesus as Savior as well as healer. Here are some other references where healing and deliverance confirmed Jesus as Savior. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. John chapter 10, verses 37 through 38. Jesus' disciples saw him do many other miracles besides the ones told about in this book. But these are recorded so that you will believe that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, and in believing in him you will have life. John chapter 20, verses 30 through 31, the Living Bible. Verifies the messenger and the message. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 24. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Acts chapter 14, verse 3. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Encourages receptivity to the gospel. And now through Christ, all the kindness of God has been poured out upon us undeserving sinners, and how he is sending us out around the world to tell all people everywhere the great things God has done for them, so that they too will believe and obey him. Romans chapter 1, verse 5, the Living Bible. It is easy to tell people about the gospel after they have been healed. There are several examples of this in the book of Acts. Healing opened the door for the gospel to be shared for salvation, and filling of the Holy Ghost and the church growth. See Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, and chapter 5, verse 14, for examples. Although healing encourages receptivity to the gospel, always remember that it does not replace the preaching of the gospel of salvation. The word should be taught along with the demonstration of power through healing and deliverance in order to bring people into right relationship with God. Always remember that it is the word that creates faith for salvation, healing, and deliverance. Healing is a powerful tool of evangelism. In the recorded healings in Scripture, in 17 instances, healings took place in evangelistic settings. Matthew chapter 4, verse 24, chapter 8, verse 16, chapter 9, verses 2 through 8, and chapter 9, verses 32 through 33. Mark chapter 1, verses 23 through 28, chapter 9, verses 14 through 27, and chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Luke chapter 8, verses 42 through 48, chapter 13, verses 10 through 13, and verse 16, chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, and chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. John chapter 4, verses 28 through 30, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, and verse 14, chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, and chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. In 16 instances, the healings had an evangelistic result. Matthew chapter 9, verses 2 through 8, chapter 9, verses 32 through 33, and chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. Mark chapter 1, verses 23 through 28, chapter 5, verses 1 through 13, and verses 18 through 20, chapter 7, verses 32 through 37, and chapter 9, verses 14 through 27. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, chapter 13, verses 10 through 13, and verse 16, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. John chapter 4, verses 28 through 30, and chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, chapter 9, verses 32 through 35, and chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. In 21 out of the 26 healings, there was either an evangelistic setting or a result. Establishes the kingdom of God. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Luke chapter 10, verse 9. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. As you minister healing, remember that the kingdom is not yet in its fullness. In the fullness of the kingdom, there will be complete absence of disease and death. The body, as well as the soul, is not redeemed now, as it will be in the fullness of the kingdom. We are saved from the penalty of sin in the past, and can be saved from its power in the present. In the future, we will be saved from sin's presence. The same is true of sickness. Sickness is not a penalty for our past sins, We can be redeemed from its power in the present, but not from its presence until the future. Demonstrates judgment on the enemy. The prince of this world is judged. John chapter 16, verse 11. When you lay hands on the sick, you are declaring that the prince of this world has been judged, and the power of sickness and disease has been destroyed. Remember that it is the power of sickness that is destroyed, not its presence. We will only be redeemed from its presence when we come into the fullness of the kingdom of God. Raises up spiritual leaders. Healing has been used to raise up great spiritual leaders. Paul was called to be an apostle of the gospel at the time of his healing. Acts chapter 9. Results in great joy. Read Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 25. This passage explains the great joy that came to individuals and communities where healing and deliverance had been ministered. As you begin. A famous ruler named Julius Caesar, having determined to conquer Britain, sailed with his legions from France to England. Then he burned every ship used for crossing the English Channel. It was either move forward in victory or die. There could be no retreat. A ministry of healing and deliverance is for those who burn the bridges of unbelief and fear behind them. You will take either one of two positions towards healing and deliverance. You may be like Gamaliel, a New Testament leader, who stood on the sidelines and urged caution. He suggested to the religious leaders that they wait and see. Or you will be like Peter, who took the risk of action. He was healing the lame man, incurring the anger of spiritual leaders, and standing against authorities who told him not to preach or heal in the name of Jesus. Always remember, you are a facilitator of healing, not the healer. You are only a channel through which the healer within you flows. To people who face crippling malignancies and endure racking pain, people who are troubled by what life has done to them or are filled with guilt over what they have done with life, people who are frustrated, hopeless, and ready to give up, people who have lost loved ones or been hurt and their hearts sob with emotions too painful to contain but too personal to express, people bound with chains of sin and demonic oppression, people facing death. Ponder this question which Jesus asked, "For whether is easier, to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'?"